The applause died down, leaving a hum in the air, and I nervously cleared my throat. I wanted to address the crowd like a seasoned revolutionary, open with a smooth activist adage. There's an old Chinese saying, but I didn't know any Chinese sayings, old or new. My hesitancy grew embarrassing. Yoshiko waddled over and ran my hand over the circumference of her bloated belly. I rubbed and smiled, but still said nothing. I thought, if I were down there among the mob, what would I want to hear? Scobie broke the silence, shouting, "Thus do I ever make my fool my purse!" I laughed. The gathering laughed because I laughed. I decided I'd want to hear candor. In the middle of the throng stood a commemorative sculpture, a slightly abstract cast iron flock of birds in memory of Martin Luther King Jr., who received his doctorate in theology from Boston University. "Do you see that sculpture?" I asked, pointing to this commissioned piece of artwork, which did not dedicate a small piece of earth and time to Reverend King so much as it took partial credit for his success. "Notice them steel birds are migrating south? That's BU's way of telling you they don't want you here." The black people began to elbow their way to the front. I was speaking to the Negroes, but the white folks were listening in, their ears pressed to my breast, listening to my heart. "You know what it says on the plaque at the base of that sculpture?" No one spoke. "You motherfuckers pass by that ugly-ass sculpture every day. You hang your coats on it, open your beer bottles on it, meet your hot Friday night dates there. Now here you are, talking about freedom this, and why do you put the game shit in the game that? You don't even know what the plaque says. Shit, it could say, Sig Hail, kill all niggas, Ashlan de Ross, for all you know, stupid motherfuckers. African-Americans, my ass. Middle-class minorities caught between racial polarities, please. Caring, class-conscious, progressive crackers. Shit. Selfish, apathetic humans, like everybody else." The crowd gave a resounding roar of approval. Here I was denigrating them, and the people urged me forward. Candor, I reminded myself. Candor. "No, I'm not gonna front. Act like the first thing I did when I got to Boston University was proceed directly to Martin Luther King Memorial and see what the goddamn plaque says. Only reason I know what it says is that I was coming out of Taco Bell on my way to basketball practice when I dropped my burrito deluxe at the base of the monument. When I bent down to wipe the three zesty cheeses, refried beans, and secret hot sauce off my sneakers, I saw what the plaque said. It says, if a man hasn't discovered something he will die for, then he isn't fit to live. Martin Luther King Jr. How many of you motherfuckers are ready to die for black rule in South Africa? And I mean black rule, not black superintendents. Yells and whistles shot through the air. You lying motherfuckers. I talked to Harriet Valesky, the ANC lieutenant you heard speak earlier, and she's willing to die for South Africa. She don't give a fuck about King's sexist language. She's ready to kill her daddy, and if need be, her mama for South Africa. Now, don't get me wrong. I want them niggas to get theirs. But I'm not willing to die for South Africa. And you ain't either. The audience hushed. The Good Samaritan opportunism checkmated. There was nothing they could say. I'm willing to die for South Africa. Where do I sign? I rubbed my tired eyes, licked my lips, and leaned into the microphone. So I asked myself, what am I willing to die for? The day when white people treat me with respect and see my life as equally valuable to theirs? No. I ain't willing to die for that, because if they don't know that by now, they ain't never gonna know it. Matter of fact, I ain't ready to die for anything, so I guess I'm just not fit to live. In other words, I'm just ready to die. I'm just ready to die. I realized I had made a public suicide pact with myself and stole a glance towards Scobie and Yoshiko. Scobie nodded his head in agreement, while Yoshiko was pointing to her stomach and yelling, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I swallowed and continued. That's why today's black leadership isn't worth shit. These telegenic niggas not willing to die. Back in the old days, if someone spoke up against the white man, he or she was willing to die. Today's housebroken niggas travel the country, talking themselves hoarse about barbarous white devils, knowing that those devils aren't going to send them to a black hell. And if Uncle Sam even lights a fire under their asses, they backtrack in front of the media. What I meant to say was, the quote was taken out of context. What we need is some new leaders. Leaders who won't apostatize like cowards, Some niggers who are ready to die. The crowd's response startled me. You, 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 they chanted, pointing their fingers in the air, proclaiming me king of the blacks. Seizing the moment, Dexter Waverly snatched the microphone, put a warm arm around my shoulder. Our new black leader, Gunnar Kaufman. All I could think was, what, no scepter? Don't I at least get a scepter?